Hey everyone, welcome to The Grind, Volume 34 on punkradiocast.com. My name is Chris, and let me be completely honest with you, I am freezing my balls off right now. It is fucking cold. No word of a lie, it is minus 46 degrees Celsius with the wind chill out there. And for anyone who's privileged enough to be living in a warm climate and has not ever experienced this kind of cold, let me break that down for you. If you have to walk anywhere in this kind of weather, don't. If you have to take your vehicle and pick up some friends or groceries or whatever, give it a good 15 minutes warm-up time, because hopefully that way you won't have integral parts of your vehicle snapping off like a steering wheel or something like that in this godforsaken cold. There are block heater cords snapping left and right all over this province of Alberta. Same thing, I'm sure, going on in our province to the east of us, Saskatchewan. And today's volume of The Grind is sort of a Saskatchewan special. We've got a couple interviews with some great Saskatchewanian bands. First one up is Sylvie, and they have a brand new release on Small Man Records called Trees and Shade Are Our Only Fences. They are a sort of a post-punk indie pop band out of Regina, and our good friend Stacey Steele, our Calgary correspondent, caught up with them while they were in Calgary and chatted with them for a little bit. Also, we're going to flip the coin musically and go from Sylvie right into some hardcore heavy rock from the boys in the Holly Springs Disaster. And Stacey also caught up with them in Calgary. So stay tuned for all of that. Usually we also throw in some From the Mailbox bands into these volumes of The Grind. Not today though, because on Friday, this Friday, the 19th of December, we will be featuring a very special show with just tons of From the Mailbox submissions from all over the place. We've got a lot of bands from Europe, some from Canada, from down from the States too. That's happening 1 p.m. Mountain, 3 p.m. Eastern on punkradiocast.com, volume 35 of The Grind. And if that's not enough, we also caught up with Ill Scarlet. Ill Scarlet just recently played Lloydminster. We've got more of a story behind that, but we'll get into that next show. So we'll be starting the show off with Ill Scarlet and then into a whole bunch of From the Mailbox artists that will keep you going on Friday's show. But back to volume 34, this show right here. We are going to kick things off with a little tune from Sylvie. This one is called Dark Ages on The Grind on punkradiocast.com.
But it seems so clear. this is Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com, and I'm in Calgary tonight hanging out with members of Sylvie. How are you doing this evening?
Good, thanks.
Very well, thank you.
Awesome. And who am I speaking with?
My name's Reva Farrell-Rissette, and I play bass.
My name's Christopher Notabon.
And what do you play?
guitar and keyboards. And sing.
And sing?
And, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it? Okay. And how about yourself?
And I'm Joel Passmore. I play guitar and sing as well.
Well, it's lovely to meet you all. So tell me about the album, Trees and Shade Are Our Only Fences. How did you come up with that name for your album?
It's a lyric from a song called Mallets on the record, and it's just sort of speaks to where we're from, the prairies, and that whole, there seemed to be a theme on the record of homeness and our worries about it and our hopes for it, and yeah, it was just a lyric that was in a song, so that's how it came about.
That's all right. It's your third album to date, and now that it's been out for a little while, have you been getting good feedback? What are your thoughts on it?
I think for the most part, the feedback's been pretty positive. I know for myself, I think it's the best record we've ever done, and my family too is crazy about it, so yeah.
I concur. Feedback's very positive, and personally I'm quite proud, and I think everybody else is, of this record. I think with every record we kind of try and make a leap and leaps and bounds from the last one, and I think we've been doing pretty well so far.
That's all right. What are your some of the more lasting memories from your recording sessions for the third time around?
Well, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Getting to sit next to Jay Robbins for a month.
Yeah, that was something else. I think just we recorded it in Baltimore, and I think the whole process, like, we lived out there for about 3 weeks, and just being in a setting where the whole purpose of our trip was to record, I think it really helped us kind of get in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And do our best performance. So yeah, it was good. It was awesome.
Had you already written your material when you went to record, or did you draw a little bit of inspiration from when you went to the city to go record?
I think for the most part we'd written all the songs. Chris, I know, had spent a couple nights at the studio and, you know, came up with extra melodies, some keyboards.
Noodling.
Yeah. And we did write one song that didn't make it to our LP, but we released it on an EP on iTunes.
That's great. Do you see the music that you write as more influenced by your older material, or has it stayed the same throughout the past three albums? Have you guys evolved, or do you stick with a similar pattern?
Oh no, we've definitely evolved. We're always working to get better, I think. We're all trying to be the best musicians and songwriters that we can. So every writing process, every time we write a song, I'm sure we're striving to do something better in some way. Rather with the recording process and with songwriting. But I mean, like, I always look at the previous album and say, you know, what can I do better for the next time? So this, I guess in that way, the previous albums do certainly have an influence over the next stuff.
Did you scrap any previous writing material to devote everything to the new material?
I'm not sure. I think we may have had a couple songs that were started or that we may have pursued, but that we just didn't finish. But I think, you know, for the most part, you know, any song that we would have played live in between the records made it to the record. But there's a couple ideas that were definitely started. Yeah.
Do you guys have any plans to release any of your stuff on vinyl? Has that happened yet?
What are we doing for Electric Grace? We're hoping to, aren't we? Is it in the works? Okay. We're hoping to.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer to February. We've got the album scheduled to release in the States then, and I think that'll be a little bit easier of a timeline. It just takes a little longer, and we're still trying to figure out who's going to actually pay for it.
Of course. What are three reasons why all your fans should listen to Trees and Shades Are Only Fences?
Three reasons? I think I answered. I've thought of this question before. And one of them is so it can help us continue with our craft, because the more records we sell, the more our odds are of being able to pursue, you know, touring and applying for grants and stuff. So it helps us, that's for sure. That's on a capital number.
I think artistically it's certainly our best record, and I think we finally achieved, like, some sort of level of, how would I put it? I think we finally come into our own as a band with this record.
I think it's the sound, like the way Jay produced it, to make it sound like a band. And I think that it was the closest representation of us playing a live show, that kind of energy of the record, and that kind of best represents the band.
How long did you take off between albums, and what did you do in between that time? You guys regroup when you...
We'd spent quite a bit of time touring. Some of the songs we had already played live on our tour, and we did a bunch of touring in 2006. We just did more writing and went back to our day jobs and tried to
make some money.
Yeah, get ourselves
back
on track.
Crazy with day jobs.
How does it feel to have such a strong underground following that has grown substantially over the past couple years? Do you credit Smellman with any of that, changing a record label over?
Yeah, I think so. They've got a fan base set in place, and I know that they, at least from like the publicity level, they work really hard for, you know, places like College Radio and some of the more independent papers and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, they have their role in it, but I think that, you know, the touring that we did in between 2004 and 2006, I mean, we were crossing the country every 3 or 4 months, and I think that while, you know, some of those shows and, you know, they didn't feel like we were accomplishing much, I think that that time that we spent playing live shows every night really helped to build some of the fan base. And, you know, I think that just the fact that it did end up taking us 3 years to, you know, release the next record, I think that as soon as people saw that we were back touring and all that, that, you know, garnered some attention from them again. I don't know, it's hard to say. It's a weird thing to gain fans by word of mouth and stuff like that.
I'm not afraid to die.
Sylvie with Please Make It Home.
How has the tour been so far? You guys only have a couple more dates left after Calgary's show this evening. How do you feel about the tour almost coming to an end?
It's been great. It's been intense. Like, we've been gone since October 11th.
Maybe some that it's been more, not so much successful, but more energy and more fans.
Yeah, I think it's been one of our most successful tours for sure. I think over the course of this particular tour, there's been a landmark every few weeks. Like, you know, our first landmark was playing the shows with Minus the Bear, and then the next landmark we were looking forward to was playing the East Coast, and, you know, yeah, it was just, there was something to look forward to, you know, every few weeks, so it was good.
I've heard that you guys have mentioned that touring like crazy helps build a better fan base. Have you found that?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely.
Yeah. It's definitely a key, I would have to say. Unless, I don't know, you got like a bunch of millionaires backing you, I don't understand how else you could really build a fan base, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's some anomalies to the process, but I don't know, like, people on our level of music and whatever. That's the only way we seem to be able to build a fan base.
Mm-hmm. What's been the most memorable part of this tour, either with other bands performing or the fans, acoustic sessions, all that kind of stuff? What's been like the most memorable part of this one?
Our showcase it was the initial showcase, I guess. Our show with Minus the Bear in New York at Webster Hall.
Yeah.
It was sold out. It was probably the best show we've ever played on top of it.
That's so pretty amazing to be there too.
It was the whole tour in the States was, I don't know, it was not what we're used to.
Did you find the fans who saw your shows different than, say, your Canadian fans or people that can't see?
They'd never heard of us.
Yeah.
You know, and but we got a really positive reception every show we had.
That's great.
And you know, every day we'd be checking our MySpace profile and be active, like, 5 pages worth of fans at a time, like, and they were all from people that had come to the shows in the States, so that was really encouraging. I can think of another highlight.
Yeah.
Not all of us, we caught the plague.
Oh.
Really? On the West, there was a low light.
Yeah. Did y'all just get really ill, or?
Yeah, we all got the flu. I guess you got a dip too, but first it hit Jeff, then it hit Joel, and then it hit me, like, all within 12 hours of each other sort of thing, and it was pretty disturbing to see how quickly something could spread.
You realize how human and real everything is at that point.
We left households of people ill in our wake.
Thank you for letting us stay.
Sorry.
What do you guys do on the road to keep from dying from utter boredom? Especially on the long drives.
Joel and Aaron have DSs. We have little portable mini DVD players. We watch a lot of TV on DVD. Been watching Weeds.
Such a good show.
Yeah, it is a good show. And I watched a fair amount of Frasier, which is my favorite sitcom ever. And sometimes Chris and I squabble over who can drive, because Chris and I definitely are the most restless members of the band, so we do quite a bit of driving.
I guess it keeps everything occupied, right?
Yes.
Will you guys be heading overseas soon?
I don't know, I hope so.
Any plans to?
Yeah, hopes? I hope so. There's no plans, but
please, Minus the Bear.
Please, yeah, please. Yeah, I think that, I don't know, we're talking to some people in Australia, like, label-wise, and it was just tough. There was some funding cuts for international tour grants that definitely will make it a lot harder, just because we'll have to pay for the
poker. When that happens.
Yeah.
Happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen Harper.
Yeah, shit. But, yeah, so, I mean, we'll just have to be more organized. I mean, the opportunity is there, but it's just going to cost more money up front, and that's tough for a band, any band, you know, to just spring for plane tickets. So,
are there any up-and-coming bands you guys are stoked about that we should know about on Punk Radio Cast? You guys have been introduced or influenced by any music over the past year?
There's a band from Halifax, Glory Glory Man United.
sorry.
Glory, Glory, Man United from Halifax. Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ghost of Modern Men, but I wouldn't say they're really up and coming, but they're always one of our favorites.
Yeah, they're about to head into the studio. They're supposed to anyways, in the new year, I believe. Don Veal was pretty cool. We played with them in Hamilton.
Yeah.
And that had members of Chore.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Alright.
Chore and Triple Chuggy.
Nice.
That's
alright.
I guess it, blank.
Medias Res has a new record down the way from Vancouver.
Awesome.
They're just putting starting to mix their new record and should be good.
Viral marketing is a huge marketing ploy these days, and considering the bands doing so are not nearly as organic and intelligent as bands of your generation are, what are your thoughts on this current trend?
On what marketing? What
kind of marketing?
Viral marketing.
I'm not familiar with it. Is that where you're like...
It's sort of like an advertising feature for bands that gets sent out to mass amounts of people, and it gets run virally,
on
MySpace, on the internet.
Yeah.
And then you end up on your comment, you get some band that's... Yeah.
Check us out.
I don't really take a whole lot of faith in mass emails because I personally, and I figure I'm like a lot of other people, when I see them, I just delete.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it. Yeah, well, I don't think a lot of people. I mean, I guess if it's a big flashy ad where it just encrypts itself into your brain immediately, then it's great. But if it's anything you've got to get into and read, chances are, I don't know. Do you ever?
Maybe once in a while, but I think that it only ever works if there's substance behind it.
How do you keep the tour green now that everyone's all being globally conscious and aware? And have you guys done anything organic for green since the tour started?
Well, we started a recycling bag.
Yes, we did.
You know, the worst thing about being on the road and being green for me, like, obviously we try and be fuel efficient because we have to.
We are all compacted in a small van, that's one step.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stops at gas stations to go to the washroom, and then there's, of course, the impulse buying of snacks and stuff like that. But there's no recycling at gas stations. Which is kind of ridiculous.
And there was no recycling at the venues in the States. We were shocked. Venues in all the places we played in the States. Like, we had trouble looking for places to recycle. Yeah.
Even
it was
bottles.
All garbage cans.
Yeah.
So, like, bottles, everything was getting... Everything was getting thrown away.
So, if you're listening to this and you're homeless, make sure you visit gas stations if you're looking for bottles, because you're going to find a shitload.
Yeah.
What's it like being a girl on the road?
Good. How are you treated?
It's better.
I don't know. I have no idea. Well, I get to carry lighter things sometimes. And, I don't know. It's good.
Just the guitar in the purse.
Yeah. Guitars and whatever I can manage. No, I won't deny that I use my little skinny arms for, an excuse to not carry Chris's cabinet or my own cabinet. But, I don't know. It's better since Erin, Joel's sister, joined the band. She plays keyboard, so yeah. it's been great having Erin in the band on that front for sure. So, yeah, no, it's good.
You have a wingman.
A girl in the band.
It's a lot of fun. And, did you want to give us your MySpace and your website to tell all the listeners out there where they can find you?
Our MySpace page is myspace.com/sylviemusic, and our website is www.sylviemusic.com.
And we can also find you on Small Man Records as well.
Yes. And we have a Facebook group.
Sylvie Music, but it's Musk. I typoed while I was...
You can't change it, can you?
No, you can't. Yeah. I mean, I could try to start a new group, but it's M-U-I-C, or M-U-I-S-C.
Musk.
Well, I guess that's it for this evening. Thanks again for joining Punk Radio Cast for a little chat. I've had a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Through the skin, cries like city sirens.
That was She Sells Seashells by Sylvie on the Grind. Here we are flipping the coin right now and getting into some heavier, hardcore metallic rock. This is the Holly Springs Disaster with My Pet Monster.
Stacey Steele for The Grind on Punk Radio Cast, and I'm in Calgary tonight at the Gateway hanging out with the guys from the Holly Springs Disaster. Who am I speaking with tonight?
This is Josh.
And this is Dan.
And what do you guys do in the band?
Dan plays drums. Josh plays guitar, I think.
Yeah.
First things first, how's your tour doing so far? Is there anything exciting you can tell me?
We're
not on tour right now. We're just kind of saving up money.
Tour
so
starts
we
next week.
This day starts next week.
Yeah. We're our first dates in Thunder Bay, Ontario. So this is kind of just a pre-tour warm-up.
You guys have toured a bunch of times around Canada already. What makes each tour different from the other, and what parts stay the same for you?
Well, the cities and the venues pretty much the same, but like we like bringing out new bands and new sounds and everything.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We just try and mix it up as much as we can. And yeah.
Played a lot of the big cities in Canada. Which one do you think has been like your best experience so far in Canada?
Toronto, Calgary.
Yeah.
There's a couple, I guess. Any good city in Canada, any big city, is usually pretty decent.
But Toronto's pretty much our favorite city. Well,
Toronto's.
Yeah.
You have a big fan base here as well as Toronto and your hometown as well, is that correct?
yeah, you could say that. Not actually, to be honest, we're probably more popular outside of our home province than in Toronto. That could be a population thing too. So.
Yeah.
Keeping real on the prayers.
Can you guys tell me about one of the more memorable shows you played, like where something completely crazy's happened, or something's gone insane, or you've just made it at the last minute, or you can tell us anything you want.
We had some broken bones.
Yeah.
We had a show in Newmarket, Ontario, where there were some guys that decided to come to the show and pick a fight.
Yeah.
A guitar player broke his hand. And a couple people broke some ankles. It was a gone show.
It wasn't good.
That's probably the worst.
Can you explain how everything came to shape up? How did you come up with the name, The Holly Springs Disaster? And how did you guys all meet and come together?
Their old drummer, actually. Our old drummer.
Yeah.
He thought of the name. There's a town called Holly Springs, and I guess there was a disaster in Holly Springs.
Yeah, it's pretty random. We thought it sounded cool.
It stuck?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We were all in local bands in Saskatchewan before Holly Springs kind of started, and all those bands broke up, as bands do every day nowadays, and then we all kind of had played together before, so we met up and started jamming and did it, and then
it all came together.
He's from Hamilton, Ontario, so...
Are you the only one not from Saskatchewan in the band?
We moved from all to drum.
Yeah?
I'm still the new guy.
You always will be the new guy.
You'll always be the new guy.
Since most bands love to talk about this, could you tell me what got you up and playing and what your influences are?
Blink-182. Blink-182 and even more Blink-182. That's what got me into music. Nirvana was actually the one that got me into drumming.
Pretty much everything. Good music, I guess. Musical integrity, I guess, would be a good thing to motivate you. 70s music, because they were good.
You're a big fan of the 70s stuff?
Oh, yeah, they are. I don't know. It's pure music. You know, it's not produced. It's not. We're just talented. There's no hiding someone's abilities in that kind of music. So.
How did life in Saskatchewan, or where you grew up, inspire or affect your music that came out? Did any of it come out on this record at all?
Kind of, sort of, not really. It's not very territorial in Canada. It's more... It's hard to explain. There's nothing in Saskatchewan that directly influenced our music, per se. Like, we don't look at cows and barns and think about writing songs. It's you know, everyday things that everybody would be inspired by, so...
It's all right. I hear one of your songs is in that movie with Tom Green in it. My Pet Monster, is that right?
Yeah.
Which movie was that?
Shred?
Right. Yeah. And have you seen that movie yet?
Yeah, half of it, I guess.
Did you just grow bored and then turn it off?
No comment.
It's a great movie, go buy it.
I'm just happy the song's in it.
Go buy it. Great movie.
What was the whole meaning behind the album Motion Sickness Love?
That's
a big question.
Well, the songs on the record were basically written from the day we started being a band until, you know, a week or two before the record had basically come out, so it's more of a collaboration of kind of how we broke into music, I guess you could say, but the new record that we're writing right now and finishing up is kind of on a different stage of our band's life, I guess you could say. It's not as much showing that we can do it. It's doing our own thing, not really paying into what people necessarily are expecting to hear or want to hear, just something that makes us happy and something that we enjoy playing.
Are a lot of the songs about being sick in love and moving around? Emotion sickness love?
No, it's just kind of I don't know what you'd call it. Some sort of drug or alcohol influenced.
Yeah.
A lot of songs are about that kind of stuff. Dealing with that kind of problem or whatever, if you want to call it a problem in some cases. So it's more just a generality title, because everything's kind of about for the most part.
What's your favorite song on the album that you like to perform?
You picked a bad song to ask us that. We're in the middle of writing a new
one. Probably David Bowie, I guess. That's a good song.
Yeah, that's probably the funnest one to play.
It's more fun. Yeah. Lots of energy.
Yeah. They're all good for what they were when we reopened.
The Holly Springs Disaster with I Dare David Bowie to Drive.
What kind of stuff can you tell us that you're writing about right now, like now that you're getting that going for the new album?
We don't sing. Yeah. I don't know, much about the lyrics, but it's more faster paced, more aggressive, fun.
But is it heavier and darker, or are you still keeping it?
Yeah, it's much.
We're trying to, like, up the bar, like, up the game, just because... You know, we want our fans to, like, grow with us, you know?
Right.
And you can't do the same thing forever.
Yeah, you can't.
You have to grow.
Do you think what you listen to has an impact on the sound that any new material that you'd be coming out with is going to the album? Any different influences? Any outside influences? Or the new sound of the album? Is there something that you're drawing
pretty
from?
Pretty wide range, I guess.
Yeah,
it's more metal.
Yeah.
It's more metal. Just a little rock. Really know what else you'd call it. It's just a heavy rock album. It's not necessarily southern or it's metalcore. It's not, you know.
What is metalcore to you? And what is this southern rock? Explain.
To us?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, unless Lynyrd Skynyrd's going on tour, there's no such thing as Southern Rock to me. So that was just something that was kind of like blown out of proportion for a while there. And it got big, you know.
And we kind of
whatever we
fell
got,
in that category.
Yeah, in there, but.
So would you say you're more metal rock or metal core, heavy
more
metal,
metal
punk?
More heavy metal rock, I
heavy
guess
metal
you could
rock.
Say. Like, yeah, like a Metallica if they were sicker.
But better.
They're great. No, I just mean it.
Did you see them last night?
No, we didn't. No. I'd actually like to see Metallica.
Yeah.
Should have. They were here for two nights.
Yeah, I know.
Did you go see?
No, I didn't. I had
to
work.
They won't come to Saskatchewan.
Well, they don't get the privilege of seeing you tonight, do they?
No.
I'm sure they're weeping.
I'm sure they're bummed. Yeah.
There aren't many bands in Canada who play music like you guys do. How's your reception been so far? Like with your fans, people coming to see your shows?
It's been great. Yeah, it's been great.
Every tour gets better.
Yeah, every
hopefully it stays that way. I guess, you know, it's good.
Are there any bands or new music that you guys have discovered recently that you want your fans to listen to and you want them to learn about? Or do you find when you get on tour, you guys bring all music on the road with you, with MP3s and stuff?
We got loaded iPods.
Yeah.
There's too much to learn. Anything.
Anything Pink Floyd.
Anything that's good. Basically.
Yeah.
Top three that you've liked lately during this run?
That's a tough one. Well, I'm a John Mayer fan personally, so I like
Is that your closet love?
That's, weird as that is. He's just incredibly talented guy. You know, I just think he's good. So he's probably number one right now. Listening to on every day.
I'm into anything metal, so if it's heavy.
It's loud and it screams, it's good.
That's
what do you think of the impact of the internet and music? You get your songs out to people, you know, instantly, but there's that little bit of a negative effect to it. How do you guys view that with your music?
I think
if the fans like it enough, they're going to go buy the record, you know?
Yeah.
But if they just want to check it out and keep it, they can go on MySpace.
Yeah.
So...
If you
hopefully
wanna,
they can like. I always condone streaming.
If you wanna be a dick about it, you could say that it shouldn't be a big deal if people are stealing shitty music. But if you make something that isn't shitty, then people will buy.
Yeah.
And people buy records. AC/DC just sold the most records, and who gives a crap kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, no one's downloading their stuff.
They didn't put it on iTunes on purpose because of that reason.
Well, they're getting, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's the internet. You can get anything, you know? You can get anything. Our CD's not even recording. It's probably already leaked. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think it's a good thing.
Now.
I think it's a good thing, personally, because without MySpace, right now, probably 60 to 70% of the bands out there wouldn't be nearly close to where they are. Because it's a network with millions of people. Near click of a button away from someone liking your band. Whereas in 20 years ago, it wasn't that easy. You had to get in your van, you had to drive out there and hope that maybe they'd hear about the show and come in. It's good.
What's been the most rewarding experience about being in your band, and what do you love most about being in the Holly Springs Disaster?
Just being able to tour all the time and have fun with friends.
Play music.
Yeah, just playing music. Being able to actually eat while playing music.
Yeah, it's a bonus.
Yeah,
it's better than packing bags at Safeway, that's for sure.
Yep.
So.
Is that what you gotta go back to after all this?
No.
There's a bit of a hesitation.
We'll see about that. We'll see when we get home.
What advice can you give to a new up and coming band?
Stick with it.
Don't rip off other people and try to come up with something original.
Yeah.
And
just
tour.
Stick with it, you know what I mean? Don't do something because someone else wants you to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, do it for your own personal earning or whatever you want
totally.
To say. You know, it's,
yeah, try not to live in someone else's shoes. You just gotta be honest and tour. Get it out there. And if it's not working, then maybe you shouldn't be playing music.
Are you guys surprised at the success that you've had?
Pardon?
Are you guys surprised at the success that you've had? You're quite well known now.
Yeah, actually, it's crazy, you know? It's just kind of more and more fans, like, every you know, every day.
There's a lot of good bands in Canada right now, I think. We were one of the fortunate ones, I guess, to do the certain right tours at the certain right time, I guess, and get those extra people out and become one of the bands, I guess. That
you've toured with some amazing bands.
Well, yeah. We've done some good tours so far. Hopefully
there's
more good ones coming up.
Where are you touring next?
We're doing Ontario and Quebec with the Casper Bands.
Mm-hmm.
It starts next week, I guess.
These guys are awesome.
Yeah, they're great bands.
Totally.
Great guys.
What's coming up in 2009 for the Holly Springs? And what are you looking forward to in the future? What are your aspirations in the coming year?
Releasing this new album, which we've been trying to release forever, and it's finally.
Do you have a name yet?
No name. The no name isn't the name.
Can you give us a little hint of what's to come? Little tidbit.
You won't be disappointed. That's all I got to say.
That's good.
Heavier and louder, and we're not going to be disappointed.
A little bit more of everything.
Yeah.
What's your website and your MySpace?
MySpace.com/TheHollySpringsDisaster.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to remember, I guess, if you know the name.
Yeah.
And do you have, a separate website? You just stick to the MySpace.
Not yet. Just the MySpace.
That's good. Is there any other information you'd like to tell our listeners at Punk Radio Cast? Any final words?
Ooh. Listen to your parents' records.
Don't That's stop. Good. I'll sign on that one, too. That's good.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
This is Stacy from Punk Radio Cast signing out.
That about does it for Volume 34 of The Grind. Make sure you tune in on this Friday, the 19th, to catch an interview and some music with Ill Scarlet, plus just a whole whack load of awesome, great from the mailbox submissions, bands from all over the world that you may or may not have heard from before. Let's close the show down with another Holly Springs Disaster song. This one is entitled Up in Smoke.
So let me introduce myself. I'm a mess. Mess of words, it says that it turns. Run the skirt. Tell your girl. Cause we're drinking your wine. I am rock and roll. The son of sex and rock. Is it your daughter that I want? And it's the sex and not the love. So come on. So now I'm in my choice, can't ever take it back. So I picked up all my things, I'm moving to the way, so it's okay, I can just sleep in my own bed. Without all of your smoke rings wrapping around my head. Slow climbing this mountain to say, what I thought that I'd smell from the bullet. What?